Elise Stefanik, you know, by all means, everybody's saying how successful you are, and you haven't really had the tough ones thrown at you yet, but here's a tough one, the Iran deal.
Yes, we are going to vote on the Iran nuclear deal when we get back into session in September. I think this is one of the most important votes that will occur this Congress. I oppose the Iran deal. Early in March, I was part of a letter sent to President Obama that was signed by 367 members of Congress from both parties, and it talked about our requirements for what a good deal would look like. So one of the requirements was a deal would last for multiple decades. It would include full disclosure of Iran's past efforts to build a nuclear weapon, reduction in the number of centrifuges, as well as inspection and verification measures. And on each of those counts, the agreement doesn't meet those standards. So that's why I think you're seeing Republicans and Democrats come out in opposition to the nuclear deal.
So what would you have the president do? Go back and, as Chuck Schumer said, and negotiate further, or just say no and take what comes by the allies going in a different direction? What would you do?
I think that's a great question. So I would not lift the sanctions, because, of course, that's why Iran was brought to the table, because of the very effective economic sanctions on Iran. So I think, A, we need to increase the sanctions, and I would go back to the negotiating table. The other, you know, if I were to start from scratch, I would also ensure that our allies in the Middle East are an important part of the conversation. Israel is obviously not at the negotiating table and has been in opposition to the plan. But when you look at other countries in the neighborhood, Jordan, the Saudis, they have deep concerns about this agreement as well. And I think it's very important when you're negotiating an agreement of this historic nature, you have to make sure that the allies in the region are part of the discussion. So that's what I would do if I were in the president's shoes.
Congresswoman, let me ask you this, just by way of information. I happen to be Jewish. We had a Vox Pop the other day, and there were some very unkind things said about, not you, but about Chuck Schumer and his position, and saying that basically he should be responding to the interests of the United States and not to Israel. I was sort of insulted by it, but I wonder where you are.
I think Israel is obviously our closest ally. I commend Senator Schumer for his position on this issue. I think it's incredibly important that we protect our national security, but that we maintain our close relationship with Israel. This agreement is not about politics. This should be about national security, and it should be about what our position in the world is. Are we going to lead our allies down the path of allowing Iran to achieve a nuclear weapon? I certainly don't support that, and I think we need to lead from the front and really make sure that if we get a deal, we get a better deal than this.
There are several people who have said if we don't sign the deal, it's a road to war. There are those who say if we do sign the deal, it's a road to war. Obviously, if we don't sign the agreement and they continue to work on the bomb, do you think, and they get a bomb, in its natural conclusion, how bad is that?
Well, I think what's worse is this deal basically, after 10 years, it paves the path towards a nuclear weapon, a nuclear weapons capability for Iran. So as soon as the 10-year window, there have been some great pieces that have been written. After the 10 years, Iran can get access to nuclear weapons capability. And that, to me, is very concerning. I don't believe that not having a deal is a path to war or no war. I think that we ought to, as I said, lead and get a better deal. Get a deal that allows us to inspect and verify anytime, anywhere, instead of a 24-day waiting period. I also think that I have concerns about the sanctions snapback. Iran is the greatest state sponsor of terrorism, and as we're continuing to see the rise of ISIS and various well-funded terrorist groups in the Middle East, lifting those sanctions will provide billions of dollars to a regime that has supported terrorism that has killed American troops, our servicemen and women in Iraq, for example. So I absolutely think that we should negotiate a better deal.
Okay. So, Elise Stefanik, sitting there in Congress, I know that, you go from things like Iran to Lyme disease. And I know you just had a Lyme disease forum. Is this important to your people?
Absolutely. almost every single family that I represent has been touched by Lyme disease, either a family member or a friend or a neighbor. And I think a testament to that was this past weekend, I hosted a Lyme disease forum with various, medical professionals, various PhD researchers from Trudeau Institute, for example, which is in my district that's doing really cutting edge Lyme disease research. And in upstate New York, if you look at basically Chris Gibson's district and my district, we're at the center of this Lyme disease crisis. And what's interesting in northern New York is while the number of ticks may be slightly less, the percentage of ticks that have Lyme disease that can transmit to humans is greater. So there are some policy initiatives that I've been working with Chris Gibson on that have been integrated into the 21st Century Cures Act, the development of a Lyme disease working group, so that NIH and HHS are able to have research funding to further invest in Lyme disease research, but also the establishment of making sure that we have an understanding of what chronic Lyme disease is. And this past weekend at SUNY Adirondack, when we had the forum, it was packed. There were hundreds of people there. There was not a seat open.
Well, so there's been some controversy over whether or not doctors are allowed to proceed in their own way on Lyme disease. I know that there's been legislation proposed and in some cases in the legislature passed. Do you see anything that is standing in the way of getting to a better place with Lyme?
I do. You know, if you look at the CDC, their basic descriptions of Lyme disease and their lack of recognition of chronic Lyme disease is a concern. This was the main concern for most of the families and those with chronic Lyme disease who attended the forum. That's what they care about. They want the CDC to make sure that they're updating their guidelines. They're required to do so every 5 years. It's been 7 years since they have updated those guidelines. And we have people suffering, after they're on the 2 weeks of antibiotics. There are still questions out there, and research needs to be done about how we can deal with chronic Lyme disease, which is wreaking havoc on people's lives.
You can say that again. I know people with it, and to deny it is just unbelievable.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what do you do in the garden? Do you cover up?
Wear dark clothing is really important. I always check for ticks. I do a lot of outdoor events promoting tourism in the region,
right.
So I make sure that after I go inside, take a look at parts of, my ankles and my arms and shoulders to make sure that I don't have ticks. And I think it's an awareness issue. I think, families ought to be taking time to educate their kids. Schools need to be focused on making sure kids do tick checks after they come in from outside. So that was the other purpose of the Lyme Forum, was to get general awareness out there through the media coverage of the event, which I really appreciated.
Well, Elise Stefanik, wonderful talking to you. When we come back the next time, let's talk politics, okay?
Great.